Joined on the phone now by Jones Angel, the voice of the Tar Heels, who you will be hearing tomorrow as Carolina takes on Georgia Tech for a shot at win number 10 this season. Be just the second time this century that they've hit that mark. They can do it tomorrow. Jones, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Aaron, great to be with you. And big game tomorrow, Carolina. It's kind of like that this time of year. Especially when you keep winning, every game seems to grow in importance, Aaron. And Tar Heels got an important win last week, of course, with that really nice performance and victory in Winston-Salem against Wake Forest. And, you know, that win accomplished a lot of things. It got Carolina undefeated on the season on the road because the last two games of the regular season are at home. So the Tar Heels know that they'll finish the year undefeated on the road, which is first time in school history that Carolina's been 6-0 on the road. In true road games in a regular season. It, of course, clinched the Coastal Division title, which means Carolina is going to play in the ACC championship game here in a couple of weeks in Charlotte against Clemson as well. And, you know, it's put Carolina in really good position to even take some bigger steps here over the last few weeks. You know, now ranked number 13 in the college football playoff poll. But all of that's in the future. Aaron, Mack Brown really wants Carolina to focus on the present, which, of course, is Georgia Tech coming up on Saturday evening.
And speaking with Mack earlier this week, he described Georgia Tech as a potential trap game because there's always a lot on the line with any game, but you got the big rivalry game with NC State coming up, that Clemson game after that for the conference title, and the Georgia Tech game this weekend is just kind of to keep the momentum going into those two games. So have you seen any trouble motivating the players to get out there on the field tomorrow?
No, and I think that's something that this team has done really well this year. And I don't disagree with Coach Brown. Certainly this is a game where, you know, when you look at it in the big picture, I do think that it could fall into that category as a game where it's kind of right there before you have the big rivalry. You just came off an emotional win against Wake Forest where you did accomplish a lot of things. And then this game is right there in between. And so that it could potentially be an issue. But I think the good news is that this team has never looked at it that way. And this team has never really week to week this season had an approach that would suggest that this week they'd fall into something any different. And I think the big reason for that, Aaron, is that this team knows it can still get so much better, right? I mean, Carolina's 9-1, but it's not as though the Tar Heels have been crushing teams and putting out just the perfect 60 minutes of football and that they're just waiting for this big game that is clearly going to come. I think for Carolina, it's much more, look, this has been a fantastic season. You've made the plays when it matters most. This is a good team. This isn't a great team yet, and I do think this team can get to that level, but it's got to continue to improve. And so I do think that fact keeps you present, keeps you every day at practice working hard, keeps you striving to get a little bit better. And if Carolina keeps taking those positive steps, then the results on the field will take care of themselves.
And speaking of one individual in particular, I got to talk about Drake May. UNC as a team is kind of right on the edge of the college football playoff conversation, and Drake May is kind of edging into that Heisman conversation as well. How's that affecting him?
You know, he's really he's just young enough, Aaron, that it seems to not bother him at all.
Yeah,
and he's just very focused on what's happening on the field and being as good as he can be and helping his team. But, yeah, I think at this point it would be malpractice if Drake May wasn't invited to, at minimum, invited to the Heisman ceremony. I mean,
yeah,
this is a guy who leads the nation in total offense. He leads the nation in touchdowns. He's second in the country in passing yards. He's third in the country in passing efficiency. He leads his team in rushing, and his team is 9-1 and just won a division title and will be playing for his conference championship in a couple of weeks and is ranked in the top 15 in the college football playoff poll. That's a player that deserves to go to New York and to be considered for some major national awards. Now, will he win it? I don't know. But should he be in consideration? Absolutely. And so I think it's been – we've all seen it on the field. Yeah, Drake has been terrific. Every single week he's been terrific. But I think it's been equally as impressive how he's been able to continue to manage it, hasn't changed who he is. He's a really well-liked teammate. And all of those things are helping this team be successful as well.
You say hasn't changed who he is. He has done a little bit fewer moments of jumping over opponents in the last couple of games. That one little change, right?
Yeah, he has improved in some areas where Carolina is glad that he has improved, for sure. And, you know, I do think that you've seen, actually, him mature a little bit on the field. I mean, he's still doing all the really impressive stuff that he's been doing since the beginning. But, you know, listening to that feedback, realizing that it's not a good idea necessarily to try and hurdle somebody and get helicoptered around when he's in the air. Even last week at Wake Forest, there were a couple times at the end of a drive that ended up being the field goal that Carolina kicked to take the lead that ultimately was the game winner, where he just threw the ball out of bounds. And, and that's not a real exciting play, but sometimes that's the right play. And so I think watching him mature, in addition to all the really exciting just physical talent that he has been fun, because he now looks like a quarterback that started, you know, coming up in game 10 here in a season. And he just looks like he's somebody who is a little bit more mature in the game, in addition to all the great things he can do.
Speaking with Jones Angel, voice of the Tar Heels, and I do want to get to basketball before we run out of time, but real quick, scouting report on Georgia Tech tomorrow. They've got a third-string quarterback they're putting out there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, any team, when you go from your first string to your third string quarterback, that's going to affect you. Any football team, that would set you back a notch. And it has been a tumultuous year for Tech. You know, they fired their coach, Jeff Collins, in the fourth week. I do think their interim head coach, Brent Key's, done a really good job. They're 3-3 since he took over. That includes some wins, you know, at Pitt and against Duke. You know, those are quality wins. Yep. And so, for Tech, it has been a challenge to move the football. That's been their issue, particularly with the injuries at quarterback. They've just struggled to consistently be able to move the ball. But they've got a really good defense. They have two of the better linebackers in the conference, in Charlie Thomas and in Ayinde Ely. And this is a team that really took Carolina to task last year, had 8 sacks, forced 3 fumbles. They were the more physical team without question a season ago. And so they'll rely on that defense to try and slow Carolina down and then do enough offensively to try and sneak out of there with a win. Aaron, I mean, this is a team that has not had as good a season as Carolina, but Tech will be here ready to play. You know, they'll be here ready for a fight, and Carolina's got to be ready for that.
That's 5:30 tomorrow in Keenan Stadium. We'll have that for you on 97.9 The Hill. After that, on Sunday, we've got Tar Heel basketball back in action, taking on James Madison in the Smith Center. And as we wrap up this conversation, Jones, Tar Heels 3-0 on the season, but they've been struggling. What do they have to do to get over the hump against this team, which is certainly better on paper than some of the teams that we've already faced?
James Madison looks like the Harlem Globetrotters on paper. They're shooting like 59% from the field and 54% from three and forcing almost 25 turnovers a game. I mean, they've been really impressive. But from the Carolina point of view, I thought Hubert Davis said it well after the game, Aaron, on Tuesday against Gardner-Webb, where he said he felt like his team was just playing heavy, just playing with a weight.
Yeah.
And who knows if that's expectations, if that's number one in the country, if that's trying to be as good as you were at the end of the year last year, right now, if that's NIL, if that's NBA, whatever it is, it just doesn't seem like the Tar Heels are having a lot of fun, and it just kind of seems like it's a lot of work right now to play. And so I think for Carolina, freeing themselves of that, it's easier said than done, but I think freeing themselves of that will help, and just kind of finding a way to get a little more in sync. It's not unusual in November to be working out some kinks, but I think this team looks more out of sync than you would expect from a veteran team. And so that'll be important to see, not just on Sunday, but I think moving forward as the schedule really begins to stiffen.
And we forget last year, they struggled for 2/3 of the year and then clicked right at the end. So maybe this is that season too.
And there's new personnel. I mean, while it's a very similar team, it's not 100% the same. And that's worth remembering as well.
Again, football tomorrow at 5:30, basketball Sunday at noon. Going to be a big weekend for Tar Heel sports, as it always is this time of year. Jones Angel, voice of the Tar Heels, as always, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Aaron. Talk to you soon.